God is here on this earth to help you out. Whether it's a temptation that you're going through, whether it's a tragedy you're going through, whether it's a conflict you're going through, whatever it is that you're going through right now, God is there to help you out. I've been doing a little reading on heaven and thinking about heaven, and I can tell you this, I have no idea what it's going to be like, but I know it's going to be amazing. I've been to the bottom of the ocean, not the very bottom, but I've been down in the ocean, I've done some scuba diving, and I have seen the beauty and the wonders that God has created underneath the waters. I have been on top of the mountains, and I have been so high that I have been close to where the planes fly. And I can tell you this, it is something to behold this earth. But Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place, I will come back and bring you with me. And if Jesus was there at the creation of this earth, can you imagine what he has in store for us in heaven? It has got to be something else. And I'm looking forward to that day when we all get to heaven. Have I told you lately that I love you? Because I do. I really, really do. I think most of us realize that there is a loneliness in the world today. I see it. I'm a gregarious person. Wherever I go, I try to get to know the people that are around me, whether it's at a grocery store or whether it's at a car dealership or whatever it is, I try to connect with others. And the reason why I try to do that, first of all, is my personality. But secondly, I look for opportunities. I look for those God-given moments where I can plant seeds or I can water what has already been planted so that God can give an increase. But in doing that, I recognize there are a lot of lonely people out there. As a matter of fact, there are some lonely people that are in the church, people that I have known that are just lonely. And it's not because of necessarily of any fault of their own. It's just who they are and what's going on in their life. I have been lonely at times. I remember when I first moved away from home, I was 18 years old, just turned 18. And I moved away from home, and we were in a household. There was six in our family, and most of the time, we had somebody living with us. And during that time when somebody was living with us, you can imagine there were four of us kids, and we were all a year apart. It was loud, and it was noisy all the time. And there was something going on constantly. If you sat down and tried to relax, it did not last very long. And I moved away to an apartment by myself, and it was the most quietest moment of my life, and I came unglued because I was so lonely. I mean, I was so lonely that I thought for a moment that I was going to get back in my car and drive an hour and a half back to where I live just so I could hear some noise. But I knew that my brothers would make fun of me and call me a sissy for not being able to live by myself, so I refused to give them that pleasure. There was a song, and it's funny that Richard was talking about songs, and Richard, you and I go back quite a bit, so we talk about the oldies. And there was a Beatles song called Eleanor Rigby. Anybody familiar with it? Raise your hand if you're familiar with that. And you people are old too, okay? So Eleanor Rigby, everybody but Harrison. Harrison, you hang out with your dad too much. That's what it is. But everybody that knows this song is a Beatles song. And one of the lines in the song, and I wrote it down just so I wouldn't mess it up. It's the lyrics are, all the lonely people, where do they all come from? And then he goes on to say, all the lonely people, where do they all belong. And I'm here to tell you that the Bible gives us the answer for that. And if you're here today, we're going to talk about that. But before we do, there was a song that Celine Dion did that's a little more current. I think it was done in 1975, and it was called All By Myself. Anybody, raise your hand if you're familiar with that. See, we're starting to get to a younger generation now. And if you haven't heard of these songs, Google them after worship and listen to them, because they're both really good songs. But the song was, I don't want to be all by myself. That was part of the lyrics that was in that. And I think as a society, what's happening to us is because of COVID, I'm blaming COVID for a lot of the loneliness, but I'm also saying that we have become a virtual society. We do so much of what we're doing online that we don't connect with people anymore. As a matter of fact, how many of you in here have done a televisit with a doctor? Okay, wow, you're a bunch of sick people in here. But my doctor wanted to do a televisit. I'm like, no, we're not doing a physical over the phone. That doesn't work like that. But my point being is this, is we don't have that connection we used to have. And you know, I just got through visiting my mom, and my mom is missing my dad terribly. 65 years of marriage, and she is missing him terribly. But one of the things I know about my mom is she is not lonely, because she has grandkids, she has kids, she has people that are checking on her constantly. But I got to thinking about that when I was visiting her, all the people I know that don't have the support system that she has. And there are a lot of people in the world that are lonely. And there are people in the church that are lonely too. But the Bible answers that. Even God said that it is not good for man to be alone, but he doesn't leave us there. He gives us a solution for our loneliness. The very first thing he does is he has a plan for your life. I think most of you don't recognize the fact that God has a plan for your life. Now, it's up to you to fulfill his plan, and it's up to you to figure out his plan, but I'm going to tell you this. You were not born on this earth without God having a plan for your life. You may be thinking, well, you know, it's obvious that John Shackelford has a plan for his life. I mean, God created him to be Santa. I mean, that's what God created him for. He's good at it. He loves it. And, you know, he's a ho-ho-ho kind of guy. Some of y'all are taking that the wrong way. But it's not just John. It's Monty Betts. Monty Betts. God created Monty Betts with a plan for his life. And I think sometimes his plan for Monty was for Monty to make fun of me, because he does it all the time. But my point being is you don't have to be an elder. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't even have to be an adult that God has a plan for your life. But you have to seek out that plan. And if you're lonely, one of the things you need to look for is God's plan for your life. Because I'm going to tell you this, when you figure out God's plan for your life and you work on that, you're not going to have time to think about being lonely. Because that is such a big deal when you figure that out. The second thing he does is he gives us his people. He gives us his people. I just have to tell you, you probably hear me say, have I told you lately that I love you, often enough that it probably just kind of comes in one ear and goes out the other. And I know some of you smile because you're waiting for me to say it. But I love this church. I love the people of this church. I can't tell you what you mean to me at different times. I'm not, I, I probably should have asked Todd this before I did this to him. But Todd Murphy over here, he and I have been buddies for years. We get together and have dinner from time to time. And the reason why we get together and have dinner from time to time is Todd cheers me up. His life is so messed up, it makes my life look good. Not really. Todd's got it going on. We just get together and we have a good time together. He's family to me. If Todd needed something, he knows I would be there. And if I need something, I could call Todd and he would be there. God gives us family. It's not just that we're members of this church. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the reason why my mom is so pleased with this church, even though she doesn't know most of you. She knows a few of you. But she says, I have gotten so many cards and so much encouragement. And the thing she says, and all of them say nice things about you. And I said, of course they would, Mom. You're my mom. They're not going to tell you what a rotten person I am. But she just knows that I am in a good place because of this church and this family. God gives us his people. He says God sets the lonely in families. Underline those words. God sets the lonely in families. You may not have your mother and your father with you. You may not have your brothers and sisters with you, but God put you in a family. When Nancy and I were first married and we were moving to different places, the very first thing we did is we found a church and we made it our home because we knew we needed family. And if you're here today and you're looking for a church home, let me recommend this one because this is the most loving group of people that I have ever been around in my life. They not only love the Lord, but they love each other. And they embrace those that become a part of this family. The final thing, letter C, he gives us his presence. He gives us his presence. It doesn't matter where you are or what you're going through, God is with you and he will always be with you. Look at what the verse says here down at the end of verse 5. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And then if you turn over the next page, the psalmist says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? God is with you constantly. And I was talking to my mom, and we spent a lot of time just talking about different things. And one of the things that I love is I like hearing about my mom and my dad and when they were growing up and things that happened. And my mom said that she had, from a very early age, the idea that God could see her and that God was there watching her. And she told me about being a little girl, and as a little girl, she liked to strike matches. That's where I got it from, Nancy. But she said she liked that sulfur smell that, you know, when you strike a match, go home and strike a match and sniff it. That's all I can tell you to do. But she liked that smell, and somehow she got a box of matches out of the kitchen. She went off, and she was all by herself. Nobody was around, and she started to light the match and smell it. And she said, and she's a little girl. She's had an overwhelming urge that God was there watching me. And she took the match and put it back in the box and went and put it back in the kitchen. Now, had that been me, it'd have been a different story. But what I'm saying to you is we need to realize that God is with us and he's watching over us all the time. I told you this last week, but I recognize when I am driving and I'm getting irritated, I recognize it's because God's not with me, but he's with me. I'm just not recognizing he's with me. And that's the key to it, is you've got to recognize that God is with you. And here's four things that I want you to remember. When I am in God's presence, He will help me out. He will help me out. God is here on this earth to help you out. Whether it's a temptation that you're going through, whether it's a tragedy you're going through, whether it's a conflict you're going through, whatever it is that you're going through right now, God is there to help you out. It says in Isaiah, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." And underline these words, "I will strengthen you," and underline, "I will help you," and underline, "I will uphold you." It says, "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." It's the idea that God is going to carry you through whatever you're going through. God is there to help you. You don't have to do it alone. If you're like me, you grew up in a time where you had to be independent, you had to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, you had to make your own way and all that kind of stuff. Well, I'm here to tell you that was malarkey. We need other people in our life. We need other people to help us up. We need other people to hold us up when we can't stand on our own, and we need people to show us next steps. And God is there with us as well. The psalmist says, "If my father and my mother leave me, the Lord will take me in." Underline those words. Because I know in a crowd this size, there have been some people that have been in bad home situations, whether it be one parent or two parents or no parents or whatever it was. I want you to know, if your father or your mother has left you, God will take you in. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed." Amen? Because there are going to be times in your life, I don't care how good you are, how smart you are, how educated you are, or how much money you have, there are going to be times you're going to get knocked down in this life. It may not have happened yet, but it will happen. We have a younger son, his name's Tyler. And our son Tyler is an amazing kid. Everything he seems to try, he succeeds at. And I told him over and over again, "Son, you get everything goes well for you," and I do not know why that is. But there's going to come a day that you're going to experience adversity of some sort. And when that day comes, remember who you are. Because when that day comes, it may not be today, it may be later on. And I want to tell the young people, y'all are all sitting together and you look so good. Man, I wish I was your age again. I'd have so much fun with you guys. But here's the thing, if things are going really, really well in your life, hang on, they're going to get bad. And if things are going really, really bad in your life, hang on, they're going to get better. You need to know that, because no matter what you're going through, whether good or bad or indifferent, things are constantly changing. This world will beat you up and knock you down sometimes. The second thing that will happen, God's presence will do for you, is He will calm me down. He will calm me down. How many of y'all think that from time to time, Neil Farr needs to be calmed down? I didn't ask for a raise of a hand, Shaq. And I'm just surprised he didn't use two. Nancy will look at me sometimes. She says, "You need to calm down." Well, you know, I think I'm not the only person that gets excited in this room. Am I the only person in here that gets excited? Raise your hand if you ever get excited and need to be calmed down. Shaq, raise your other hand. We all get excited. Maybe somebody makes us mad. Maybe something happens that's really good and we need to calm down. We can't calm down. How many of you ever struggle at night to sleep because your mind's racing? Oh, good. I know who I'm calling next time that happens to me. I struggle sleeping sometimes because when I go to bed, my mind keeps working. My body's exhausted. It says it's time to sleep. But my mind says, oh, no, Neil, let's think about this. Let's think about this. Let's think about this. And I look over at the clock. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I can't sleep. And most of the time, the reason why I can't sleep is not because I'm excited about tomorrow. It's because I'm concerned about the things that happened that day or that may be happening in the future. Look at what it says here. I will lie down in peace and sleep, for though I am alone, O Lord, you will keep me safe. You see, the way that I go to sleep when I can't sleep, especially if I'm concerned about what's going on, is I will pray and I will ask God to take care of it, whatever I'm dealing with. The psalmist says in 31 and verse 20, you protect them in your presence from what people plan against them. You ever have somebody you feel like was planning something against you? You shelter them from evil words. Wow. The third thing he will do when you're in God's presence is he will cheer me up. He will cheer me up. How many of you in here need to be cheered up today? Raise your hand. Okay, I've tried my best. You're going to have to see the elders after this. I think there's a lot of people that need to be cheered up. I know for a fact that you can go out of this building today and go out into the world and you can run into a number of people that need to be cheered up. As a matter of fact, I have made it my practice that whenever I see anybody that's having a bad day and you can tell on their face that they're having a bad day, I make it a practice to do what I can to cheer them up, to make them feel better about life, because there is a whole world that is out there that is hurting and they don't have the Lord and we do. So we need to go out and we need to cheer others up because God has cheered us up. The psalmist says, I keep the Lord before me always. Underline those words. I keep the Lord before me always, because that is a part of being happy. That is a part of being cheerful. Because he is close by my side, I will not be hurt. So I rejoice and am glad. Even my body has hope. And I really need that verse right there, because I got up this morning and my knee hurt, my back hurt, my shoulder hurt, and I'm thinking to myself, my body needs hope. Some of you have been looking at me for some time saying, yeah, your body really needs some hope. But the point being is you will feel better physically as well as emotionally. The psalmist in 16:11, you will teach me how to live a holy life. Being with you fills me with joy. Underline those words. When you're in God's presence, being with God will fill you with joy. In Psalms 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So no matter where you are today, you've got to have God's presence in order to have joy, in order to be cheered up. Number four, he will see me through. No matter what I'm going through, God will see me through it. And there have been times in my life I've gotten through things and I didn't recognize that God was with me. But I can tell you for a fact, as I look back on my life, the things that were the hardest things in my life, God got me through it. And there were times I didn't even see him. It was when I reflected back that God got me through it. I remember when the very first time I got fired. Well, it was the only time I got fired. Well, yeah, I guess it was the only time I got fired. I think some of the others were mutual understandings. I don't know. But it was the time I got fired, and I got fired for not doing something that was unethical. And the people that fired me were members of the church. And it was a rough time for me. I had two kids. Nancy was taking care of the kids. I was the only source of income. And I remember crying out to God and saying, God, don't you understand? I'm a deacon at the church. I'm teaching Bible classes. I'm doing this. And I'm doing all this. Why would you let me go through this? And I'm going to tell you, the tears were real. This is not an exaggeration, but for 2 days I did nothing but cry because I wasn't sure how I was going to feed my family or what was going to happen next. And I made phone calls to my father. I made phone calls to people that I trusted and tried to figure this out. But I can look back today and I can tell you that God allowed me to be fired during that time so that he could bring me to where I am today. And I would for nothing go back and change anything. But I'm going to tell you this, it was God that saw me through that time. It wasn't my abilities. It wasn't my strength. It was the strength that God gave me during that time. How do I experience God's presence? This is a big question because I think for a lot of us, we think that God's presence is when we come to church and we're with the people of God. As a matter of fact, I know some people have never experienced God's presence in their life. They've experienced baptism. They've experienced doing the right thing. But I want you to experience God's presence in your life, because when you experience God's presence in your life, it will change how you live. It'll change what you worry about. It'll change what you care the most about. Because God's presence is something greater than anything you can experience on this earth, and you need God's Spirit in order to do it. Well, how do I experience that? Well, number one, I have to desire it. I have to desire God's presence. I think for a lot of us, and including me when I was younger, I didn't care about God's presence. I was more concerned about what I could get away with. And I was one of these guys that was in your Bible classes where you're talking about grace, and I would ask, well, how much does that grace cover? And I've told you this before. My brothers and I, we would talk about dying and going to hell, and we wanted to know, all right, if we could figure out when we're going to die, we'll repent right beforehand. In the meantime, we can do whatever we want. It was a free-for-all. I never desired God's presence. As a matter of fact, I know some people that have been baptized and fear God, and they were baptized in order that they may be saved, but they never entered into that relationship with Him. Look at what the Scripture says here. The one thing I want from God, the thing I seek most of all, underline those words, the thing I seek most of all is the privilege of meditating in His temple, and underline these words, living in His presence every day of my life, delighting in His incomparable perfections and glory. When you really desire to be in God's presence, like the psalmist did there, then you will start to live in His presence. The second thing is, I must dedicate time with Him. I must dedicate time with God. If I am not spending time with God daily, how can I even remember that I am in His presence? Whenever you're dealing with a problem, and Monty's teaching a class on the book of Acts, and he's teaching Acts chapter 4, where Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin, and they were basically said, hey, you don't preach anymore, you don't do this anymore. And they said, well, you know, should we obey you or man, or God or man? And they immediately left there, and you know what they did? They didn't have a party, they had a prayer. and they asked God for more courage in speaking out. And I'm here to tell you that when we are a people of prayer because we've spent time with God, we are going to enjoy His presence. It says, friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence Him. With them alone, He shares the secrets of His promises. You want to know what it's like to live in God's presence? It's when He starts revealing His word to you in a very real way as you're going through things. Number three, I must learn to praise Him. 2 Chronicles 5:13-14. The trumpeter and the singers joined in unison as with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and other cymbals. They raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, He is good and His love endures forever. And look at what happens next. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. Oh, I long for a day where our singing and our praise to God is so magnificent that I can't preach. Because we are in unison and worshiping God and declaring His glory as a people together. And not that necessarily the cloud will come in, but I know that when that day comes, because I've been a part of those kinds of worship services, when that day comes, we will not be able to do anything other than sit in the presence of God. And I long for that day as a church. Well, finally, how do we put all this together? What's the application? I didn't put any blanks in here because by this time I knew the sermon would be too long. Yes, I know it's too long. Loneliness is a choice. You have to choose to be lonely. If you're here today and you're lonely, it is a choice that you're making because God has provided through His Word the things you need to do not to be lonely. So number one, you need to commit your life to God and His plan for you. And His plan for you does not look like my plan, and your faith will not look like my faith, and the way that God works in your life will not look like the way God works in my life. We are not cookie cutters. God loves us individually and demonstrates His love for us individually. And we need to know that my salvation is not your salvation. Your walk with God is not my walk with God. And I think there's a lot of things that can be caught, not taught. You can observe from other people. And that's the reason why God gave us a family. We can learn things from each other about our walk with God. But your walk with God and God's plan for you is individual. And you need to recognize that. Number two, become a part of a church family and not just attending. And I'm not talking just to the people that are not members that are just attending and not members here today. I'm talking about some people who are members of the church here. And they're never become a part of the family. If you're here and you do not have close relationships with other members of this church, you're just attending. And if you know the preacher, that's great. But I'm going to tell you, my phone book is full of people that I know. But I have people that I'm really close to that I consider my family. And if you don't have those people, those kinds of people here in the church that you're a member of, either here or someplace else, you're just attending. And that's the reason why you're lonely. And number three, develop a daily time with God. I was talking to somebody recently about this, and they said, well, how much time should I spend with God each day? And I said, how much time do you have? And this person's pretty busy. And I said, well, you know what I would do? I said, when's your best time? Is it morning or is it evening? When is your best time? And they said, well, you know, I'm really kind of at my best first thing in the morning. And I said, well, that's when I would do it. And for some people, it's better at night. I know for me, morning's best for me because it starts my day off right. But if you're not a morning person, then maybe that's not the best time for you. But you need to spend that daily time with God, and you need to block out a few minutes at the very least. I would say 10 to 15 if that's all you can afford. But I'm going to tell you, if you're like me and you spend quality time with the Lord, 10 to 15 minutes is, you're just getting started. Because quality time with the Lord refreshes you. It changes you. It gives you perspective. And I'm going to just say this for some of you because you need to hear this. It makes you a better person. Each Lord's Day, we sing an invitation song. And each Lord's Day, I have to tell you about this invitation. First of all, I want you to know the Lord's invitation is always open. He's ready to receive you as you are, anytime, day and night. All you have to do is go to Him. But as a body of believers, we've taken our song after the sermon and we call it the invitation song. And that's how a lot of you know this is almost over. And we sing this invitation song, and we sing it each week. And for those of you who grew up in the church, you know the story. This is an invitation. If you want to be baptized and become a Christian, this is the time you do it. Or if you've committed sin and you need to repent publicly, this is the time to do it. If you need the prayers of the church, this is the time that you do it. You come forward, and we will pray with you. And I don't want to take anything away from that, but the invitation song is more than that. It is an opportunity for you to respond to the worship that you've had today. You see, when you truly worship, you get into the presence of God, and when you get into the presence of God, you are changed. You are not the same person you were when you came in here. And it may be a slight change for you. It may be a recommitment that, oh, I'm going to get back to my daily devotions. I've kind of let that go. Or it may be that, you know, I am just not recognizing that God's presence with me all the time. And I'm going to make a concerted effort that as I go through my day, I'm going to set my alarm on my watch or on my phone, that every hour my phone is going to chime to remind me that I'm in the presence of God. Whether it's something as significant as making a change in your life and being buried with Christ in baptism, or if it's just a little change, you need to respond to your worship today. Because it's not the message you respond to, and it's certainly not the preacher. It's your God Almighty in heaven that wants you to be with Him in heaven. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.